in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter. And this is a precious chapter. This is the chapter where we find the parable Jesus spoke about the prodigal son. And as you're turning there, I was thinking about grace this past week. And grace, the grace of God, has many different layers, many different facets. And in that regard, it's kind of like a beautiful diamond. You ladies have a lot of you who have been married or are married, you have a beautiful diamond ring or maybe earrings or whatever. But you know, that diamond was not a very pretty thing when it was in a raw state. It's just like a pebble. You can pass right over it. And there's no beauty in it whatsoever until it's been precisely cut to reveal its inner beauty. And no two diamonds are exactly alike. Just like no two people are exactly alike. And the brilliance and the beauty of the finished cut stone are only displayed after it has first been carefully examined by the diamond cutter, the master jeweler, and cut precisely to reflect the white light that passes through it and comes out in an array of beautiful colors. It's just, to me, that's like God's grace. God's grace is abundant. It's free, as we sang. And it's available to all, to everyone. To no matter what, where the person is in their spiritual walk, or maybe they're not saved yet, maybe their circumstance is different than yours. And you know, I was thinking about all through Scripture, God displayed grace countless times. But I don't know that he ever displayed his grace the same way twice. He works individually. He works specifically based on the need. Now, the parable that Jesus used in Luke 15 is just one example of the Father giving grace to the younger son, the prodigal son. And we all know the parable very well. We studied it. And how the Father's unconditional love for his son welcomed his younger son back home after a reckless decision. And today I'd like to spend a few minutes on the second part of that parable. Before we begin, we must also place this parable in somewhat of a context, because in the preceding verses in this chapter, Jesus gives two other examples. First is of the man who loses one of his 100 sheep. The other is the woman who lost one of her 10 silver coins. But they both did the same thing at the end. They called their friends together to rejoice together over the one that was lost but now is found. And that's what I want to talk about today, rejoicing together. The parable of the lost son includes many facets, just like a diamond. There's repentance, there's shame, there's guilt, there's a feeling of unworthiness. There's a topic of inheritance, of sonship, forgiveness, and unconditional love. There's also sacrifice and a celebration feast. Let's pick up reading from Luke 15 in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And this is talking again about the prodigal son. The younger son had left, but the elder son stayed home. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh unto the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He didn't get it, did he? But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The elder son believed himself to be worthy than the younger brother. After all, the younger brother had brought shame to his father. He repented and felt no longer worthy of his father's name. Let me ask you something. If grace were only given to the worthy, were any of us worthy to receive it? No. It wouldn't be grace anymore, would it? If we felt we had to earn it, it wouldn't be grace. If it's works, it's not grace. If it's grace, it's not works. The father bore the shame of the son. Can you imagine? The son probably thought, oh, I brought shame upon my father's household for what I did. And his father said, no, I'll have none of that. Can you imagine what people were saying about the father? He took the shame. Jesus took our shame on Calvary. It was Jesus who bore our shame on the cross because he loves us. Now, rather than rejoicing in the return of his younger brother, the elder brother was angry and he was jealous. He thought his works made him worthy. But see, works and grace, as I said, they can never be mixed. It's either grace or works. You know, we had two children, Shelley and I had Michael and Lauren. And they were very different children. It's hard to believe, Michael was a very strong-willed child. And he took a little getting after. But Lauren, if we needed to correct her, all I did was just look at her. Boy, she just melted. We love them both the same. But the grace was different for each one because they are different individuals. So are we. His grace is sufficient for you. And whatever your situation is, whatever your need is. Isn't that wonderful? How there can be billions of people to have ever lived with, and God is able to minister to each and every heart specifically and individually and personally? You think, well, how can that be? Because he's God. That's who he is. I don't have that capacity, but he does. God's grace is fathomless. It's an ocean of fathomless, unconditional love to all mankind. God sees our individual needs, and he provides us just the right measure and just the right facet of grace in just the right time to grow us each individually up to the mature bride that he sees in you. We can never attain on our own. I mean, if we even start, you're going down the wrong road. His high calling in Christ Jesus, there's no attempting, there's no trying on our part. It is what it is. All we have to do is accept it. It's counterintuitive. It's not the way society is. Praise God. I'm glad that's not the way God is. For all of us have been woefully short. We all fall short of the worthiness of God's grace. So let us always rejoice. Rejoice with each other in the grace that is being bestowed. Don't judge somebody. Don't do that. God doesn't. Why should we? Why should we? If a brother takes a fall or whatever, rejoice in the Lord that he's been restored by grace. Rejoice in that. Don't be like the elder brother. Don't be jealous or angry. Because if it was not for the grace of God, there go I. Well, God bless you this morning. It's really good to be back.